It's a trap!
Hello and welcome to episode number 82 of Radio TCX,
your weekly source for X-Wing news and strategy.
I'm Tim Dugan.
And I'm Carson Ray. Now, Tim, last week we got some pretty exciting news. We got the announcement of Wave 13.
Yeah, this was kind of crazy. We just, a couple weeks ago, got the announcement for X-Wing Wave 12. We're already looking forward to this Wave 13 launch next year, where we'll see some ships from the new movie Star Wars The Last Jedi.
Yeah, we got the TIE Silencer expansion pack and the Resistance Bomber expansion pack.
And there's been some mixed feedback about these ships for a number of reasons, so we're going to talk about all that in today's episode.
So I wanted to start off our conversation with the TIE Silencer and Resistance Bomber expansions, talking about the value of these kits, because there's definitely been some controversy surrounding the first small base ship to be priced at $30. That's the TIE Silencer. And then we also have the Resistance Bomber coming in at $40.
Yeah, we've never seen an instance before where you're getting just a small base ship and an expansion is coming in at that $30 price point. Typically, small base ships come in at the $15 to $20 price point, and then we start to see large base ships coming in at the $30 or $40 price point.
Yeah, and whenever they've introduced new price points for packaging, there's definitely been some pushback. In Wave 6, when the Star Viper expansion was released, that was the first $20 small base kit. And that was definitely a group of the community that was upset about that increase in cost. But I think people realized over time, you were getting a lot of value for that $5 price bump in upgrade cards.
Well, yeah, and Carson, you did a little investigation into this to look at exactly what you get in these different price point tiers of expansion. I think there is obviously one of the reasons that these expansions come in more expensive is sometimes the models are particularly big. Like in the case of the Star Viper model, that model was fairly big, and I don't think it would have fit in a normal X-Wing blister pack.
Gosh, and that model's just too cool. I'd pay $30 for that model. but that kit did come with 9 upgrade cards. But for the traditional small base blister, for a 4-pilot ship, you were getting around 6 upgrade cards. So now bumping that up to 9... is pretty good. And for your typical large base blister, you're getting somewhere between 12 and 14 upgrade cards. In the newer releases now, we've seen that be basically 14. So the $20 kit was kind of the middle difference between 6 and 12, which is pretty nice. And then we've seen that even go up with the Kimogila or Skurg, both come with 10 upgrade cards compared to like the Ark, K-Wing, Star Viper all have 9 upgrade cards in them.
So while the value doesn't necessarily coincide to the size of the base of the ship or even necessarily the size of the model, I guess, you do tend to get a little bit more in the pack in terms of upgrade cards and tokens sometimes.
Right. So the TIE Silencer is definitely coming in at a higher price point than these $20 kits, but it's actually compares pretty well to the other $30 kits where you're getting, with the Silencer, you're getting 12 upgrade cards and 1 condition card, which is a little bit less than the U-Wing or Jumpmaster 5000, which give you 14 upgrade cards, but it's about on par there. I don't really like that condition card tax where it's taking up an upgrade card slot in the kit, but it's not really giving you a new upgrade card. I think that part's kind of annoying.
Well, it's especially annoying since it's a condition card that we already have. I understand why they have to include it in this expansion because players might not have necessarily bought the Upsilon class shuttle, so they might not already have the Kylo Ren condition. But since it's a card we already saw, too, it just feels kind of lame that, oh, I'm going to have 2 copies of this even though I only ever run at most 1 copy of it.
For me personally, I don't really care that it's a small base ship coming in at $30. I think it's a sweet model, and I think it'll be really fun to put on the table. But as long as I'm getting that comparable upgrade card to price point, I'm pretty happy there. It's more with the Resistance Bomber that I have some complaints on the pricing.
Yeah, so you brought this up to me, and I hadn't really thought about it before, but we kind of see that divide between large base ships. Some expansions come in at $30, some come in at $40. And you were looking into the exact amount of content you get with these expansions. And the difference between a $30 expansion and a $40 expansion, you don't get a whole lot of added content, right?
No, between your typical $30 large base expansion kit and your $40 one, so looking at like the Punishing One or the U-Wing, I'm comparing that to the Upsilon Shuttle, the Shadowcaster, or the Houndstooth. The upgrade cards are basically the same. In some cases, the $4 ones have like one or two fewer cards. And so for me, this comparison is rather frustrating, where you're just paying for the slightly larger model. And in some cases, like, it's a substantial difference in size. For the Shadowcaster or Houndstooth, those are pretty large models. But the Resistance Bomber doesn't look that big to me.
Well, and we have to admit that we don't know the exact size of this model. We just kind of have the available promotional images in our perspective based on what we know, how big ships are compared to the size of the base. But yeah, I would agree. It looks like the Resistance Bomber is not particularly big, you know? Which is frustrating if it's coming in at a $40 price point, because you'd expect then, well, if they have to have a larger box to contain this, then yeah, the model must be too big to fit in a standard box. But, you know, right now, it looks like it would fit in that $30 box, depending, I guess, on the angle you put it in there.
Yeah, so I think that's a little bit frustrating. Overall, in this wave, though, I'm just really excited for the TIE Silencer, so that kind of overweighs my frustrations there.
Yeah, I think value-wise, the TIE Silencer doesn't really bother me because I expect this is a ship I'm only going to probably need one copy of. The Resistance Bomber, I'm really not sure because that $40 price point is pretty high. And if I need to feel like I need to buy two copies of this or more, that's going to be pretty frustrating because that's a pretty big investment for not a lot of new content. All right, so we've talked enough about value. Let's get into what we actually know about these ships now because there's a lot of really interesting stuff going on here.
All right, I think we saved the best for last, and let's start off with the Resistance Bomber. Here we have a large base Resistance Bomber.
Classified as the BSF-17 Heavy Bomber.
We see the Pilot Skill 7 ship coming in at 29 points. It's got a 2 attack dice, primary weapon turret, 1 agility, 9 hull points, and 3 shields, with the focus and target lock actions, as well as the system upgrade and 2 bomb upgrade slots and the tech upgrade slot.
Yeah, and we kind of infer based on the point cost of this highest point one, 29, that the low end, the generic one, is probably going to be somewhere in the realm of 22 to 24, just kind of working our way backwards. It does have 3 unique pilots, as we see in a lot of expansion, large base expansions. So that's nothing out of the ordinary. It's pretty clear that this ship's role is as a bomber, especially given a lot of the upgrade cards that come along with it.
Right, so it's got a specific bomb that's only for the BSF-17 bomber only. Ordnance Silos, that's 2 points, that reads, when you equip this card, place 3 ordnance tokens on each other equipped bomb upgrade card. When you are instructed to discard an upgrade card, you may discard 1 ordnance token on that card instead.
Yeah, so basically this is like a super extra munitions, whereas extra munitions, which was a torpedo upgrade card that gave you those munitions tokens, you could discard the tokens instead of the ordnance card, allowed you to double up on your torpedoes or missiles or bombs. Ordnance Silos specifically dedicated to bombs, but it effectively gives you 4 copies of whatever other bomb you equipped on your BS-17 bomber.
Right, it kind of lets you turn any bomb into a bomblet generator. It's kind of a build your own bomblet.
To an extent. Which is actually a pretty cool mechanic because bomblet generator is just limited to that activation style bomb where it detonates and you roll 2 dice and see if there's any damage. But the ability to pile up with like 4 Connor nets or 4 thermal detonators seems pretty cool.
Right. So with cards like Connor net or cluster mines, you could really build quite the minefield over the course of a few turns, setting up, dropping a few of those to set up favorable exchanges and then save 2 for combat.
We also got another card to aid your bombing, and it's a little weird because the article announcing these ships didn't really specify what it meant, but we got a 1-point system upgrade called Trajectory Simulator, and it reads, you may launch bombs using the 5 template instead of dropping them. You cannot launch bombs with the action header in this way. And this one's a little weird because it uses new words here that we haven't seen before, like launch bombs, and the article doesn't specify what that actually means.
Right, so the big speculation here is whether or not those bombs are being deployed out of your front guides or the ship's rear guides. Traditionally, bombs have always been dropped out of the rear guides, with some exceptions.
Yeah, notably the TIE Punisher Death Rain had the ability to drop bombs using the front guides instead of the rear guides, which added some interesting utility. But that was only limited to your standard one template. So it'd be crazy to put bombs out your front guides with the five template. But we also don't know what that means. Maybe this is bombs being sent sideways from your base. I'm assuming there's going to be a rules card in there to tell us what
I'm guessing means. It's probably not sideways, but who knows?
Oh, but that'd be so fun, though. Just send them out the side there, kind of strafe around, especially since you have a built-in...
I think side might be the most powerful as you're driving around the outside circle of the map, just launching bombs at anybody trying to approach you from the middle.
Throwing in thermal detonators. Well, it's probably good that I'm not designing this game.
Right. Yeah, so, okay, we see this will probably be a decently powerful bomber. How do you think it compares to our other bombing ships in the game?
Well, I mean, my initial criticism of this expansion is that we're getting a bomber with some bomb power increasing cards, presumably, when in a state where the metagame doesn't really need added bombing benefits. We already have a lot of good bombers. A lot of people, myself included, think that bombing's a little too powerful at this point. So I'm a little disappointed to see that of the two expansions we're getting in Wave 13, one of them is going to be dedicated to making something good even better.
Right, and where Ordnance Silos is limited to just the BSF-17, the Trajectory Simulator is open to any bombing ship with the system upgrade. So Captain Nim has access to that, or the TIE Punisher.
And, you know, I'm happy to see the TIE Punisher get a little love here, but Nim does not need any boosts right now. He's doing just fine.
I mean, it would compete with the advanced sensors on Nim, but we'll see how good that launch thing is when we get a more detailed article explaining how it works. I hope it's not as good as advanced sensors.
Let's hope not. We also got a new condition card that coincides with the highest pilot skill, Crimson Leader's pilot ability. Crimson Leader has the pilot ability, when attacking, if the defender's inside your firing arc, you may spend one hit or crit result to assign the rattled condition card to the defender. And the rattled condition card reads, when you suffer damage from a bomb, you suffer one additional critical damage. Then remove this card. Action, roll one attack die. On a focus or hit result, remove this card. So again, we've got another ability here that makes bombing even better.
Right, but this ship doesn't have any crew slots, so it can't take Sabine on top of that. Now, you could put Sabine somewhere else in your list and stack these effects.
Well, and I think people will do just that. I mean, we have enough great bombing ships on the Rebel side that I wouldn't be surprised if we found a great combination here where Crimson Leader can deal out this condition, or then another ship drops a Condornet or something that ends up doing two additional damage on top of its one. That'll pop a TIE Interceptor in one move.
Right. My impression of the ship overall and how it's going to play in the game is I don't think it's going to be too troublesome. The bombs are probably going to be pretty good. That's a lot of bombs you're getting for a pretty good value. And it's got a pretty good stat line, so it'll stay around. You'll be able to drop some of those bombs and do some damage. But Rattles is definitely less consistent than Sabine. And with just a 2-dice primary attack and no other turret upgrades or missiles or torpedoes, all of its damage is going to be linked to those bombs. So it's kind of like you're doing bomb damage instead of any other attacks, which I think is still maybe something players might want, but I don't think that's going to be in itself game-breaking.
Yeah, I think you're right. And a lot of the complaints I have about the other ships that are kind of powerful bombers or maybe overpowerful bombers like Miranda Dawny or Captain Nim is their ability to use other upgrades to deal damage. So not only are they great bomb droppers, they also carry things like Twin Laser Turret or Captain Nim's ability have a strong primary weapon where they're going to be able to push damage other ways. Bombing is less problematic if the ship doing it, that's the only avenue they can use to push damage out.
Right, and those ships can also hit you with a missile or a torpedo and then finish you off with a bomb. Crimson Leader and all the BSF-17s are not going to have access to any of those other damaging upgrades. But I think you got to keep an eye on Trajectory Simulator. That could be a problem if it's boosting those other bombing ships.
Hey, Hey guys, just time for a quick Patreon update. We just sent out our prizes for our September raffle, which were pretty sweet. I'm really excited to be able to give away that Guns for Hire expansion along with one of those Gen Con 2017 promos. Obviously, we've got more cool giveaways on the way. So if you want to be eligible for next month's raffle in October, please go to patreon.com/radiotcx and become a supporter of the show today.
All right, let's get back to the cast.
So the other expansion coming out, the one that Carson and I are both very excited for, is the Ty Silencer expansion.
Yeah, and I don't even have a great reason, be it stat lines, action bars, what we see on the dial, to be crazily excited. I just think this is a really cool model.
Yeah, it kind of takes the styling of like a classic Ty Interceptor and updates it into that kind of modern era First Order style.
It looks fierce.
Yeah, this thing is nasty. Now, it does, we talked about it, comes on a small base, but this model appears to be pretty big, expanding well beyond the confines of that silhouette of the small base.
Yeah, it looks pretty comparable to a Scum Aggressor or even Fire Spray size.
Yeah, and I think part of the reason it comes in on that small base, a lot of the, I think the small base, big base divide depends on how the designers want this ship to fly. It's less dependent on the size of the model, because we've had other relatively small models that end up on bases that might not necessarily feel right.
Yeah, like the U-Wing.
Yeah, well, that's a model that's relatively small, but it comes on this giant base. But I kind of understand from a design perspective why they would do that, because they want it not to be quite so nimble. They want it to move around a little more hulkingly, especially with the dial it has, or it doesn't have a lot of hard turns. Whereas if you put that on a small base, it's going to inherently be a lot more nimble. So this ship, especially given that we know it's got at least hard green turns, is going to be a pretty nimble ship, I think. And it's got a pretty intimidating stat line. We've got 3 attack dice, 3 agility dice, 4 hull and 2 shields, along with the focus, target, lock, barrel roll, and boost actions. And the upgrade bar is loading out, at least on Kylo Ren, an elite pilot talent, a system upgrade, and a tech upgrade. But this all comes in at a pretty steep point cost.
Right, so pilot skill 9, Kylo Ren is 35 points. Does have his pilot ability of the first time you are hit by an attack each round, assign the I'll show you the dark side condition card to the attacker. Now, that ability on his shuttle definitely triggers more, where you're often hit by an attack when you just have 1 agility. Whereas here with a 3 agility ship, you're not going to be hit by an attack as often. But I think the value of a deterrent for being targeted ability is more powerful on an ace ship. So it'll be interesting how that ability plays out.
Well, but it also depends a little bit on pilot skill here, I think is kind of interesting, because since Kylo Ren here is coming in at pilot skill 9, whereas his Upsilon class shuttle version comes in at pilot skill 6, the ability functions a little bit differently. So whereas before you might take the damage on the Upsilon class shuttle and then deal the, I'll show you the dark side condition, search for that pilot crit and get ready to assign it to a ship if you deal a critical damage, that works different at pilot skill 6, because that ship might get shot at and then at a lower pilot skill you might be able to return fire and deal the crit out that round, so the deterrent's a little bit stronger. Whereas Kylo Ren at pilot skill 9 likely is going to be firing before a lot of ships who are attacking Kylo Ren.
Now, I want to pose a question for you. Which pilot skill of ships do you care the most about getting the I'll show you the dark side to trigger against?
Oh, that's a fair point, right? Because it's probably more value if I'm able to trigger the I'll show you the dark side against a even higher pilot skill, something at 10 or 11, and then deal them that pilot skill 0 damage cockpit crit.
Right. I think now it's not a guaranteed for Kylo Ren to be able to trigger that with critical damage, but definitely something to consider, where if anybody out pilot skills him and gets a shot, he can definitely shift the scope of that battlefield pretty quickly with that ability.
Well, and there is an inherent limitation too here, where you have to be hit by an attack in order to deal out the condition. So you're going to be able to trigger this a finite number of times.
But unlike other ace ships, having those 2 extra hit points means this ship can survive taking at least 1 hit.
That's true, but it also specifies that it needs to be a hit from an attack, not from a bomb or any other game effect.
Right. But, you know, cruise missiles doesn't one-shot them, necessarily.
Well, and I think that's an important point of his stat line here, why I think he has a chance of being relevant in the metagame, in that he's an ace that comes in at a higher hit point total, which seems pretty necessary right now, because we've seen ships like the TIE Interceptor, or even now the Protectorate Starfighter at 3 or 4 hit points, not be able to exist effectively in a metagame where bombs are flying all over the place.
Right. I think if Fen Rao had 2 more hit points, he wouldn't care. He would wipe those bombers in that time.
Now, looking at the other pilots here, we have a pilot skill 4 and 6 generics, as well as another named pilot at pilot skill 7. Based on Kylo's cost of 35, I'm going to estimate that the low-end generics probably start around 28 or 29 points.
My guess is 28. We'll see if I'm right.
Yeah. It's going to be curious whether or not they have elite pilot talents. That's an important part of it, and we're not able to discern that from the promotional images. But at a $30 price point for this expansion, it does come with a fair number of upgrade cards, some we've seen before, but several we have not.
Yeah, 2 copies of Autothrusters. Players have been clamoring for that since the Star Viper expansion.
Yeah, this is actually kind of a big deal, because the ships that most often want Autothrusters, at least when they first launched, were Imperial players, because they're TIE Interceptors and such. But you always had to buy a Star Viper. So if you're the type of player who likes to just focus in on one faction, it was annoying to be wanting to collect Imperial ships and then have to buy this stupid Star Viper to get a couple copies of this card.
Hey, so it's nice. Don't call it stupid. It's beautiful.
Hopefully it'll be relevant again here soon with Guns for Hire, but we'll see. But it's nice to see that come within the faction here, especially since this ship will likely want to use Autothrusters.
Oh, absolutely. We also did get the First Order Vanguard card spoiled for us.
Yeah, this is a 2-point unique TIE silencer-only title, and it reads, this is really interesting, but it reads, when attacking, if the defender is the only ship in your firing arc at range 1 to 3, you may reroll 1 attack die. When defending, you may discard this card to reroll all of your defense dice.
Right, so that first part is sort of like a lone wolf-type effect. It's going to apply to you and your opponent's ships. So you can't have any of your friendly ships in your arc, and hopefully your opponent isn't flying too many ships to make it easy to just get one in your firing arc. But getting that passive recursive reroll is really powerful. Definitely if you get down to just the late game and still have this active, where it's just one ship on one, that's going to be amazing.
Well, and it's interesting to see that this ability comes in as a title just on the offensive end, where normally in order to get an offensive reroll like that, you're going to be using up a different slot, like something good like your elite pilot talent slot for Predator or a crew slot for Dengar. Here you're getting it with a title, so you can keep those other slots you have open for other abilities.
And then that defense ability, this always happens when you fly aces. There's that one turn where they just blank out on defense dice and your ship is done. This is a nice insurance policy. It's costing 2 points, but you get a second chance at that reroll when things go south.
It is interesting to note that much like classic Han Solo's pilot ability where you could reroll your attack dice, but you have to reroll all of them, this ability also specifies that you can discard it to reroll your defense dice, but you have to reroll all of your defense dice.
Right. Now, if you Palpatine, you can't reroll that die, right?
Right. Ooh, so there's some interesting interactions here, too, where you could potentially Palpatine and evade, change that die, it can't be modified any further, and then discard the First Order Vanguard to reroll your remaining dice. Pretty tricky.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fringe case, but definitely worth knowing about.
We've also got, it looks like, 3 other new upgrade cards on here. Unfortunately, they're mostly obscured. Looking at the promotional image, we have something called Debris Something. It's got an action header, and it appears to be silencer only, and it has something to do with evade tokens, which is notable because the expansion does come with a couple evade tokens, but the ship itself can't take the evade action, so obviously it has to get these evade tokens from some of these upgrade cards.
Right. Now, we also see what I'm guessing is advanced optics based on parts of the words I can see. And this card is actually featured in both expansions. And the wording looks really comparable to Comm Relay, but for what I'm guessing to be focus tokens.
Yeah, and then there's one more tech upgrade in the top left corner here called TH something, TR something. And we can't tell what it does at all. That might be it for all we know. So a lot of interesting stuff coming with this expansion. I'm excited to see some more spoilers so we can get the full readout on these new upgrade cards to see how they'll fit in with this ship and with other ships. But based on the information we do know, we've got a couple lists we came up with that could rock out your pilot skill 9, Kylo Ren TIE Silencer, with some style. So the Kylo Ren build we're looking at right now is Kylo Ren at 35 points, with the auto thrusters modification at 2 points, the First Order Vanguard title at 2 points, and then a sensor jammer, which is included in the TIE Silencer expansion. Basically, when you're being attacked, you can change one of the attacker's hit results into a focus result, basically forcing them to spend a focus token if they have one to get full mods. That comes in at 4 points. And then we have Intensity, which is a card I've really been enjoying lately, where you can, after a booster barrel roll, you can assign yourself a focus or evade, but then you flip it over, and you can only flip it back if you spend one of those tokens at the end of combat. And then lastly, we've got a Comm Relay for 3 points, so you can get an evade token from your Intensity and then hold on to it with Comm Relay. This comes in at a total of 48 points.
Yeah, and then you kind of have two options of where you can take it from there. You could go the defensive route and take a Omnicrom Group Pilot Lambda Shuttle with Emperor Palpatine at 29 points, and then throw in a TIE Striker like pure Sabacc with adaptability.
Yeah, and this is kind of a pretty good combo. Palpatine obviously gives you some more consistent modification there, especially on defense with your Kylo Ren to keep him alive that much longer, since you're going to be depending on him for a lot of damage. And pure Sabacc is just a pretty strong value where you're going to get often 4 attack dice rolls coming in. You can get some Palpatine modification on offense or defense if you need it. And he's a good distraction where people want to deal that damage to him to disable his ability to roll that extra attack die. But that means they're not focusing in on your TIE Silencer, which gives Kylo Ren the opportunity to isolate some enemy ships and take them down.
Or if by the time this comes out, those low agility bombers are still being very popular, you could take 2 Sinar Specialists with Twin Laser Turret and Lightweight Frame.
Yeah, and both these lists come in just under 100 points, so you got a little bit of a bid there, which helps out a lot when you have a pilot skill 9. It's a little hard to say how helpful that is if the metagame is still tending towards pilot skill 10s and pilot skill 11s, but I think these will be some fun lists to fly once we finally see Wave 13 release next year.
Yeah, I'm excited for it.
Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of Radio TCX. If you like the show, please consider going on to facebook.com/radiotcx and liking our Facebook page. It just takes a second, but it really helps us expand the reach of the show and lets us know you're listening.
You can follow us on Twitter at Radio TCX Podcast.
And if you really like the show, please consider going on to iTunes and leaving us a 5-star review, along with a little comment saying what you like about the show and why other people might be interested in listening. This is huge in helping us reach a new audience when people are scanning through iTunes to find out what podcast they should listen to. If they see a positive review there with a description of what they like about the show, it's going to make it that much more likely that they're going to listen to this podcast. And we really appreciate it.
This week, we want to give a special shout out to Shet Dog, who really like the fact that we remind listeners what cards and ships abilities are.
Thanks, Dog, and a huge thank you to everyone who's already left a review. It's really awesome. We really appreciate it.
If you want to support the show directly, please consider going on to patreon.com/radiotcx. Become a supporter of the show today.
Again, guys, thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.